Summer breakfast here on 11:16 SEN. We know the Boxing Day test here has been, well, marred by rain, but certainly no rain over in South Africa as they host Sri Lanka. We're a couple of days into the first test at Port Elizabeth and evenly poised after Sri Lanka bowled very well. Their batsmen, particularly their middle to lower order, have had to really dig in. We always catch up with Fidos Moonder, who's from Crick Info. She's live on the ground in South Africa. Fidos, nice to catch up again.
Yeah, so lovely to be on again.
Take us through the second day. Obviously, a great effort by Sri Lanka to restrict South Africa to 286. They had some issues, certainly, in their top order, but their middle to lower order really dug in and certainly right in the contest.
Yeah, I mean, today was certainly a bowler's day, the second day. We had quite an interesting build-up in that 2 days before the match, we had a really, really strong westerly wind. And in Port Elizabeth, that westerly wind is the drying wind. So it flattens the pitch and it suits the spinners. But then on Christmas Day, we had an easterly blowing in of almost the same strength. So we're talking around 50 to 60 k's an hour. And that easterly wind is known as the bowling wind. And that is off the sea and it usually supports a bit of swing. So we had these two contrasting winds really messing with the groundsman's plans. And I think we've seen what that wind can do on the second day because it was blowing ever so slightly. It was really, really humid, you know, 80-90% humidity. It felt really, really hot. And I think it really helped the bowlers. We saw that with Suranga Lakmal, who I've been incredibly impressed by. His first 5-wicket haul in Test cricket. Mm. And then we had Vernon Philander and Kyle Abbott, tailor-made conditions for them. They just sliced through South Africa. Sri Lanka, may I say. I think Sri Lanka would be very disappointed because especially the captain, Angelo Matthews, got a start. He battled through. He looked like he was in, and then he gave it away. So I think Sri Lanka will be a little disappointed that they didn't fight harder. And South Africa, again, relying on the bowlers, which is, I suppose, a trend and perhaps becoming a problem.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, we saw South Africa really closely here in Australia and for, you know, two of the three test matches for those. They were extremely dominant. They're the red-hot favourites here. We know Sri Lanka in the Southern Hemisphere haven't always been able to handle the conditions, whether it be South Africa, Australia or New Zealand. And you talk about Angelo Matthews, who's missed a bit of cricket this year, giving away his wicket. And, you know, just watching their batting last night, I mean, it's not easy, isn't it? When you're used to those lower decks in Asia, it takes a fair bit of adjustment. We're seeing it with the Pakistanis who don't play here in Australia a lot. So for those cricketers, you know, they've got to adapt to the conditions if they're going to be competitive.
Yeah, and I mean, Sri Lanka's tour match was played in Potchefstroom, which is up country. It's the high felt. The ball definitely moves quicker through the air. And that pitch can be pretty flat sometimes. Occasionally, it can be really green and just produce something strange that we haven't seen. So not ideal preparation for them. What I will say is that Port Elizabeth would be Sri Lanka's probably most familiar conditions because it's the South African ground that suits spin the most. Mm. And I think that would have been on Sri Lanka's mind as they came into this match. I know they were pretty confident that Ranganaherath would be able to do something here. And they were really kind of just looking forward to being able to make their own impact early on in the test series. I'm not sure that they've done that entirely. You know, South Africa were caught on the hop too. I think they perhaps didn't prepare as well as they should have. And their batsmen, all of them got starts and none of them carried on, which they'll be pretty disappointed with. But yes, for Sri Lanka, you know, for a tour like this to be a success, you do need teams to spend a long time. They need to have a lot of tour matches. We saw it when South Africa were in Australia. They had so much time that by the time they got to Perth, it was almost as though they were playing in home conditions and Australia kind of conceded the home advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Fidos Moonder over in South Africa. Stumps on day two, Sri Lanka 7 for 181 in reply to the Proteas 286. Faf du Plessis, I mean, we saw him just recently being made the full-time test skipper. He certainly made an impression, Fidos, out here in Australia. And he's a man that, as he's gone on in his journey, he's just looked really, really comfortable in that role.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a natural captain. I mean, he's captained at every level. He was at school with AB de Villiers, and he was always the natural choice as the leader. So that's definitely something that he enjoys doing. I'm not sure whether the Australians love him or hate him or love to hate him or exactly what the relationship is there.
Yeah.
But he really does love captaining, and it seems to bring out the best in him. Since taking over, he scored 200s, one against New Zealand and then the one in Adelaide, under quite tough circumstances because obviously the ball tempering was still hanging over him. So really tricky at the moment for South Africa because Eddie de Villiers will be fit again, and it's difficult to see who's going to make way, actually. Hashim Amla's struggling with form. JP Duminy's maybe not doing as well as South Africa would want him to do. So it's just a tricky situation. But I do think Faf du Plessis is the right choice for leader. The players seem to really buy into his philosophy. And, you know, one of the things Faf said in the lead-up to this test, which I found quite interesting, was that because he's not as good a cricketer as de Villiers, he actually has to buy or make the players buy into his strategy through other things, not just through batting really well. And I think that's a pretty interesting way to go about it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Just on Hashim Amla, I mean, we saw him struggle here in Australia. He's only made 20 in this test match. Where do you think his future's at sort of beyond this series if he can't really make a contribution with the bat?
Yeah, I mean, he would be the man under pressure. You know, if JP Duminy continues to make runs and Hashim Amla doesn't, then I think some serious questions will be asked. Something interesting to me is that Hashim Amla's averaged 17 on his last four away tours, but he's averaged 70 in the same period at home. So I'm not sure if there's a condition thing that's sort of holding him back when he's not in the places that he likes to bat. I think the place where we'll really have an answer to that will be in the second test at Newlands. It's conditions that Hashim Amla loves. He's done so well on that ground. I think if he can't score runs there, then we'll have to start asking what is going on with him. It seems as though there's something wrong with the technique. His footwork's been really hesitant recently, and he's hanging his back out way too many times. Mm. So it just seems like maybe he needs a bit of tweaking. Someone needs to chat to him or something like that. I wouldn't want to say his international career is on the wane because with the tour to England coming up, I still think he's got plenty to offer.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're seeing it with Yunus Khan, Misbah here for Pakistan. Just looking a little bit out of sorts on the New Zealand tour and here, ageing, and I suppose their futures will also come into question over the next 6 to 12 months. So just conditions for the next few days, and what sort of result do you think we're going to get out of this game?
Well, we've got some rain, which may or may not arrive. I mean, we were due some rain on the second afternoon. It never came. The third day, there's a bit of rain predicted. And then we've got more wind coming, the bowling wind again, on the fourth day. And the fifth day is set to be absolutely perfect. So we may go the distance if the weather plays a bit of a role here. You know, Sri Lanka, they wouldn't want a deficit of probably more than 50. And South Africa would be happy to have a lead of 80. And I think if South Africa's lead does creep over 50, then they'll look to bat big in the second innings and bowl Sri Lanka out again. I'm not convinced of Sri Lanka's top four or five batsmen at the moment, especially not against the likes of Vernon Philander and Kyle Abbott. So I think it's still advantage South Africa, but Sri Lanka have certainly given them a few things to think about.
No doubt. Fidos, really nice to talk to you. We hope to do it again through the test. Interesting day three coming up tonight, around about 7 o'clock air time on Fox Sports. Sri Lanka to resume at 7 for 181. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nice to be on again.
Fidos Munda, Crick Info. She's based on the ground over there at Port Elizabeth. A break. More to come. Summer breakfast right here on 11:16 SEN.